Now it's time for the Rural News with Eric Frickberg. And Eric, opinions are divided over a control plan for Himalayan tar.
Yes, they sure are, Marnie. Forest and Bird want more action, not less, against Himalayan tar in the Southern Alps. Hunters want the High Court to stop a Department of Conservation plan to kill male Himalayan tar in national parks, as well as other parts of the mountains. The DOC plan would target all tar, including mature bulls, which are a prize trophy for hunters. The Tar Foundation and a fellow hunting group, the Deerstalkers Association, say the DOC plan could bring the population of tar to an end. But Forest and Bird says New Zealand's high country landscapes are under threat. A Canterbury official, Nikki Sonia, thinks allowing any tar in national parks and doing that, the DOC plan would be illegal.
National Parks Act and the National Park Management Plans are unequivocal that the populations of tar in the national park should be zero. And research shows now that there's a 95% confidence that the population of tar is 35,000 on public conservation land alone. So that's more than three times the population that the Himalayan Tar Control Plan allows. And that simply, that does not take into consideration Crown land or private land inside the feral range. So the issue is that there are simply too many tar and the department just has to get on and do that control work.
Nikki Snoyank says the law demands priority for native flora and fauna, which cannot thrive while tar are in national parks. Federated Farmers says a wealth tax proposed by the Green Party would impose equal charges on farmers regardless of how much money they actually make, and they say it's unfair compared with income tax. The Green Party is proposing a wealth tax of at least 1% on assets over a value of $1 million and 2% on assets over $2 million. The aim is to raise money to pay for unemployment benefits of at least $325 a week. In addition, there would be better payments for dependent children and students, and ACC would be extended to cover sick as well as injured people. But Federated Farmers President Andrew Hoggard says funding this with a wealth tax would use a crude mechanism that often doesn't match how much money a farmer actually has.
Often in farming, you may be asset rich, but at times for a number of years you can be cash poor, particularly in the sheep and wool sector. 6 or 7 years ago, it was very marginal returns, and for them to still be taxed over that time would have just been inequitable. They weren't making any money. That was a period where a lot of them felt the need to convert to dairying to actually make some money from their land. I think the Greens need to think long and hard about that. But, you know, end of the day, if you've got assets, they should be delivering a return, hopefully. And if you're making that return from them, you'll be paying tax on that income.
Andrew Hoggard says income tax is far fairer than a wealth tax because it reflects how much cash people are actually getting. Biosecurity New Zealand says it's possible that a recently detected pest species could have been in the country for two summers already. Two populations of the tomato red spider mite were found in Auckland several weeks ago. The tiny mite feeds on plants in the Solanaceae family, including tomatoes, potatoes, eggplants, as well as beans, kumara, and some ornamentals, roses and orchids. The department's principal response manager, David Yard, says the pest is unlikely to have any significant impact on trade and horticultural products, but Mr. Yard says a technical advisory group, or TAG, has been established to look at the potential impact and tools for control or eradication of the mite.
We don't, in all honesty, know how the thing actually entered the country or indeed how long it's been here. It could have been carried by wind or arrived on a visitor's clothing or bags or hitchhiked to an imported product. The scientists who've looked at it so far believe that the mite might have been here for two summers. So it's not a new detection. It's slowly been breeding itself up. And I think it's important to say that the mites in both localities have been detected on nightshade weeds, which, as you know, are pretty endemic throughout Auckland. We would be encouraging growers to follow good biosecurity hygiene measures, and specifically to treat nightshade weeds around their properties and glasshouses.
How significant is this incursion? Is it, I mean, on the scale of fruit fly to this?
Yeah.
I mean, how does it compare?
I don't think this is a fruit fly. Overseas, the mite can cause defoliation and crop loss. It's quite difficult to ascertain at this time what the impact will be, given the New Zealand's unique environment that we deal in. But I believe that industry already have and control a number of mites using their routine industry programs, and TAG will provide feedback on whether those are appropriate to control this or whether further measures are needed by them.
That's David Yard from Biosecurity New Zealand speaking to Maya Burry. On-farm costs were largely unchanged for sheep and beef farmers last year. The latest Beef and Lamb New Zealand on-farm inflation report shows a 0.4% rise in farm input costs in the past year compared with a 3% lift the previous year. It says the most significant price increases were for insurance, rates, as well as vehicles and repairs and maintenance. These were partly offset by low interest rates, which decreased substantially. The report says interest rates continue to be important because not only does interest expenditure account for 14% of total farm expenditure, it's the only expense that's significantly fallen for farmers in recent years. And finally, Australian farmers battling a ban on live cattle exports imposed in 2011 have won some support from the Prime Minister. A court recently found this ban, imposed by the then Labor-led federal government, was illegal. It ordered compensation to be paid, but subsequent hearings and the possibility of an appeal have left this question unresolved, along with the amount of money that might be involved. Scott Morrison says the coalition is still considering an appeal, but he still expressed strong support for the farmers' rights to compensation.
What's important is to note that those live cattle exporters were dealt with egregiously by the Gillard government, and they deserve the support of ensuring that their injury and their hurt and their loss is addressed. And I have every intention of making sure that is done.
That's Scott Morrison. Any compensation could be supplied to hundreds of businesses and amount to hundreds of millions of dollars. The lead plaintiff is claiming around $3 million. And that's Rural News for now.